Enjoy cooling comfort and clean, healthy air 24 hours a day. Call 1-300-COMFORT now for a Panasonic air conditioner.
The all-new 2020 Fresh Triple M Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor. Saturday Fever.
Yeah, Saturday Fever, a big second hour coming up. The show is brought to you by our mates at Panasales, and with summer coming up, there's no better time to buy a Panasonic air conditioner. Panasonic air conditioners, revolutionary Nano-X technology, neutralizes bacteria, viruses, pollen, and mold in your home. Actively reduces unwanted pollutants in your home. Call 1-300-COMFORT to find out more. Quality air for life with Panasonic air conditioners. We're so proud to have you as our show sponsor. The second hour, Dylan Alcott is going to be with us. Jude's going to talk about the Swannies. How did they go in 2020, and what about their thoughts on 2021? Hugh Jackman is going to be joining us. Jeez, mate. Come on, get your own show. And we're going to be talking about the leading teams in NRL and AFL. Cannot wait. The big second hour coming up on the Dead Set Legends.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor.
Who?
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Warland. And we do the show thanks to our mates at Panasales. Time now to speak to this guy.
Our next guest is one of the most annoying overachievers.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
That makes the rest of us look bad.
People with a disability can be talented, funny, humorous, just normal people enjoying their lives.
He's won 10 Grand Slam singles tennis titles, including 6 Australian Opens. He's won 2 Olympic gold medals. He's won a Logie. He's got an Order of Australia medal.
Thank you so bloody much.
We get it, mate. You're good at what you do. He even has his own radio show. Please welcome to Triple M, Dead Set Legend, Dylan Alcott.
Yeah, great to have him on the show. Dylan, how are you this morning, champ?
G'day, team. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on. First time on Dead Set Legends, so I'm feeling a bit honoured.
It's Jude Bolden here, mate. Dylan, just that I've run into you after the grand final in Melbourne with your brother, Zach. You've got an amazing relationship with him. Tell us a bit about, you know, what he meant to you, you know, growing up as a young kid.
Yeah, we get on pretty well these days, Jude, and he's my best mate. He wasn't always my best mate, though. I remember when we were kids, we used to always fight over the Foxtel remote, and he used to always, he's 6'4" these days. He used to put it always put on top of the fridge where I couldn't reach it. What a jerk. But yeah, but it was the best thing he ever did because he never cared that I had a disability, and it made me realise if he didn't care, then why should I care? And he always looked after me. And, yeah, I tell you what, I'm glad he used to – I bet he's glad he used to look after me because now whenever he needs to go to the September club or go in somewhere, go, you know,
he rolls on
I'm his avenue in, so I always try and take him along.
Hey, Dylan, Wendell Sale here. Mate, tell us how you got into tennis because, you know, I probably didn't appreciate how hard it was when I went out there to Sydney Olympic Park and just watched. And, mate, there's so much that goes into that and your fitness and obviously your concentration levels. When did you know that that was for you?
Yeah, I started playing sport when I was about 10, 11 years old, and I guess the same for, you know, you guys as well. I think the social aspect of sport was the best part because I'd never met anybody else with a disability. So to be able to see other people like me meant the world to me, and then I realized I was all right at it. And I actually I played tennis and wheelchair basketball, and I won a wheelchair basketball gold medal when I was 17 years old at the Beijing Paralympics, and then played 8 years of basketball, then swapped back to tennis, and then, yeah, won the 10 slams and 2 more gold medals. So sports saved my life. It really did, guys. And I owe everything to sport, and I'm sure you guys are the same. And to any young person with a disability, I strongly encourage you, get out there and have a crack, because you might not think you can do it, but I promise you can do it in whatever way you can do it. So it was probably the best decision I ever made.
But what I like about that also, you just talk about the sport, but also, you know, the mental side, and also media-wise, you're out there, sponsorship deals, you know, the ANZ Bank of late, you're killing it, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, I use the anecdote. When I started playing tennis again in 2014, I played a match at the Australian Open and there was 5 people there. And they, like, 3 of them were my family, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And now, like, I just kept working and working, and I knew that the Paralympic sport is a great product that people want to watch. We just had to get it out there somehow. So that's why I work so hard, and I appreciate I'm the lucky Paralympian who people might know my name, but I hope it just goes, you know, trickles down to all the other athletes out there and the next generation of young athletes. Hopefully it's a bit easier for them. And yeah, I really appreciate, you know, even coming on this and talking to you guys, because it just didn't happen, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and it's so cool that it is happening now.
What would you tell your 10-year-old self, Dylan?
I'd tell him to get a better haircut and also to be proud of the person that you are, because I used to hate myself and I hated having a disability, hated being in a wheelchair, and as soon as I became proud of my difference, my life changed immediately.
Nice. How quickly were you in the wheelchair in your life, Dylan?
I was born with a tumour wrapped around my spinal cord, so that was cut out when I was a couple of days old. So I've never known anything different, but I went through a really tough time in my early, you know, early teens where I absolutely hated myself and really wish I could go back there and, you know, tell that kid to get out there and start living life.
Oh, it's beautiful, mate. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. What is your sliding doors moment?
I remember I wasn't getting invited to house parties at school, and I decided just to invite myself.
Yeah.
So I told my brother, Zach, what do I do if I'm not invited? And he said, mate, me and my mates just jump the fence, which is probably not in my skill set. And, so he just dropped me there, and I just invited myself. And what I found was my mates didn't hate me because I was different. They actually just weren't inviting me places because they didn't know if I needed a carer, if I could get up steps. They had no idea. And what I found was, as soon as I started talking about my disability more, they became more comfortable.
Yep.
So from that day on, I decided to never let my disability get in the way of anything ever again, and that was my sliding doors moment for sure.
Dylan Olcott.
Such inspiring message.
Legend.
Absolutely. You are a dead set legend, big fella, and please don't be a stranger. We'd love to talk to you more, and congratulations on everything you've done in the last 10 minutes. If people have been listening, well, how inspiring. Take care of yourself, big fella. Thanks a lot.
Big fan of all three of you guys, so thanks for having me on. I'll definitely come back if you have me.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Wallen. And we do the show thanks to our mates at Panasales. And it's time now for this.
Time to fire up the Flogometer. Triple M's Flog or Not.
Yeah, and this one is the Flog or Not Hall of Fame, boys. We've got the top five flogs of the year. So this is nice and easy. Start the ball rolling with David Warner, his disgraceful antics on TikTok.
What about that? Yeah, we've had so
much. I'm all for it, mate.
No.
I love people getting themselves out there.
I've seen you send me screenshots of what he's been doing on TikTok.
I don't remember that.
Oh, please. It's been a big flog effort.
Okay, number four, the two Richmond players for breaking the AFL bubble, having a night out on the town, but not only that, they get into a fight, they buy kebabs at the start of the night, they buy kebabs at the end of the night. It's chicken kebabs, it's another flog event. These boys, fair dinkum, they took the cake.
There was some flog efforts amongst these efforts. But
what,
I mean,
what were they thinking?
But I think they weren't Robinson Crusoe. How many teams broke actual...
Well, AFL did. NRL's meant to be the blokes that are doing the wrong thing. It was your AFL champs.
Had Nathan Buckley playing tennis.
Yeah, you know, well, there's a whole different story around that as well. We're not going to go there. What about this bloke? Michael Jordan breaking the unwritten rule by throwing his teammates under the bus by revealing what happened off court during the Last Dance.
I get to this one door, I walk in, and practically the whole team was in there. Here you got your lines over here, you got your weed smokers over here, you got your women over here. So the first thing I said, look, man, you know, I'm out, you know, because all I can think about is if they come and raid this place right about now, I am just as guilty as everybody else that's in this room.
Now, that is a flog effort.
Look, I love MJ, but I just don't love what he did there.
You
can't do that.
You don't do that.
You think of those poor blokes sitting back now, their fathers, grandfathers going...
They're all ducking and weaving, aren't they?
Coke and hookers and all the rest? No, good. What about number two, Isaiah Thomas, not even placing the great Michael Jordan in the GOAT conversation?
He's an all-time flog.
He is.
Like, that's why we've got these sort of moments, to recognise that greatness in flogness.
You said it.
Well, talking about greatness in flogness, Mr. Bolton, what about this bloke? Novak Djokovic.
Oh, my goodness.
Saying positive thoughts can override toxic food. Originally said COVID wasn't real. Oh, sorry, Trumpy. Staged a tournament with fans during the COVID peak. Partying in nightclubs during the tournament. Contracting COVID because of the tournament. Not being remorseful about the tournament and putting a heap of people at risk. His grandfather for saying he's only getting criticised because of his nationality. Reckons he was the subject of a witch hunt after everything that had happened. Hit a line judge with a tennis ball in the throat and was disqualified from the US Open. Novak Djokovic, you flog.
A-grade
flog. You are the number one Hall of Fame winning flog of the year, Novak Djokovic. Congratulations, you flog.
Flog. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Warland. And don't forget to subscribe to the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Triple M app to listen anytime at triplem.com.au. Time for you to talk about the Swannies and give them a bit of a report card on 2020.
Yeah, obviously a really disappointing year for the Swans. We knew there was a side in transition. We spoke about that at the start of the year, and it might be a really inconsistent year. And that really showed. I mean, they finished with only 5 wins for the year, finished third last on the ladder, but there is an element of excitement about where they're heading, and I talk about this potential sort of hockey stick up in improvement. Whether that means they make the 8 next year, I don't know, but for me, I'm actually really bullish about where they're heading. I think they've got a really good young list. I talk about the likes of James Rowbottom, who played in the midfield, really tough midfielder, Ollie Florent, who's just, you know, going from strength to strength, McCartan, Blakey. We know Isaac Heaney's a star, those types of players. What they battled throughout the year was not having a ruckman, and Naismith was down for large parts of the year. He starts running again really quickly, so he'll get, you know, be able to hopefully play round one next year. So that's really positive. And in the trade week, they've managed to bring in another good ruckman in terms of Tom Hickey. So it'll be his fourth club, so he's been a bit of a journeyman, but they just solidify those ruck stocks because they've got a strong midfield. They've got good experience with the likes of Josh Kennedy, Luke Parker still around the place. So I'm pretty positive that they've got a good mix. They have to get Franklin up and about, just for the game.
Coming out of that contract too, and you would have expected such a big deal that they would have brought home a flag.
Well, that's what we've seen during this period was, you know, having to offload players from Collingwood and things like that because of salary cap pressure. And, you know, we've seen that with Franklin's contract, is they were expecting the salary cap to be rising by now, and now it's taking up a lot of their salary cap space. So there is a pressure on this team, but I like where they're heading with their list.
Okay, happy with the coach, happy with everything else. Have they got all that in place, sort of backroom staff?
Absolutely. So I think the fact that, you know, John Longmire's still in there, there'll be a bit of a shifting, coaches box a little bit in terms of some of the assistant coaches. But I think it's all positive in terms of where they're headed. I think, they've got good quality leaders, guys like Jake Lloyd and Dane Rampey in there. So they lost Alir Alir, which was a bit disappointing. A really good quality defender who goes over to Port Adelaide. But for Swans fans, you know, stick it out. I think next year, hopefully there's that bit of improvement, and then we, you know, maybe see them the following year be right up there.
Okay, so miss the 8 again, like you said at the start of this year, and everyone went, whoa, dude, what are you doing?
I'm hopeful. Like, we're a long way out, and we've put Dell under the pump to try and pick where people.
Well, this is your job now.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Do they make the 8?
I think they're on the cusp.
Okay, so that's not an answer.
8 or 9.
Okay, there you go. There's how the Swannies going to end in 2021. At least that's what Jude thinks. A long way out. Fair play. More on the Dead Set Legends in just a sec.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton, and Gus Warland. And we do the show thanks to our mates at Panasales. Now it's time to speak to this guy, Hugh Jackman. I mean, he's literally been riding my coattails since high school. Like, mate, this is my show. Why do you keep ringing up and begging to be on it all the time? I mean, surely you can get your own sort of raps going. Anyway, here you go, Hugh Jackman on the Dead Set Legends.
Our next guest hasn't played in the NRL or represented his country in a World Cup. This guy's not even a professional athlete. But he is a Hollywood and Broadway megastar. He's won a Golden Globe, Emmy Award, Tony Award, and like Gus, was once voted the sexiest man alive. Direct from New York, Dead Set legend, Wolverine himself, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, g'day Jacko, how are you, brother?
Hey, good morning, Dead Set legend.
Hello, buddy. My
sexiest man alive was about 20 years after yours, Gus. He was self-proclaimed in high school.
That's true.
I've got to ask you about Manly. So as a kid growing up in Serena, I was a Manly fan because of Dale Shearer and Martin Bella. They're from there. Where did your love of Manly come from?
Everyone in my family went for Manly. So I grew up absolutely loving all my brothers, my dad. He used to take us down to Brookvale Oval. But my dad is really straight. So we used to, every time we would go there, we would sit on the, you know, the bleachers there behind the goalposts at the north end.
Yeah.
And, you know, people would be swearing, and every time they swore, my brother and I would look at my dad thinking, he's going to tell him to stop swearing. Please, Dad, don't do it.
Jack, yeah. I wanted to ask you, what are some of your fondest memories of, you know, hanging around with Gus and some of those likely lads at school?
Remember when we would go and score, mate? We were such tragics. We would score the cricket. Like, we'd get a cricket book and sit there for 5 days. We had no money. Remember, we used to buy the cookies from McDonald's, 4 packets of that would get us through the day.
Yeah.
And we would sit there and score it. We'd play backyard cricket. We played in, obviously, in everyone's teams. And, you know, sport was sort of the backbone for us. I think all the banter with the boys is all about sport still.
Hey, Jacko, really appreciate that. But, look, I'm a person who loves my movies and stuff, and it's hard for you probably to realise this, but I'm not that much of a deep thinker. But one of the first movies I saw you in, which I loved, was Swordfish, because of Halle Berry. I just thought she was unbelievable in that, and that was like a young Hugh Jackman. Mate, tell us about that.
I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if it's... I can tell... I'm going to tell it.
There's a scene in that movie...
There's a scene in that movie, Gussie was reminding you about it last week, actually.
The laptop.
At the laptop. So I've been found out. I'm a genius hacker of computers, which, if you know me at all, is the greatest joke of all time. But I'm a genius hacker, and Travolta's got a gun to my head. Originally in the script, he was making me do drugs at the same time, and there's a girl under the table giving me a you-know-what. So, and I've got a minute, or I'm going to die whilst all this is happening. So we shoot the scene, and Deb's not there. She's in Australia, and she was due to get back the next day, and we turn up to set the next day. I thought the scene was shot. They said, oh, by the way, we just need another... we need your close-up of that. So we get back into the scene, and we call cut. We're done. I look over, and there's Deb standing at the monitor.
I'm like, oh...
Dave, I didn't really explain what I was shooting today. But anyway, she went straight up to the girl who was under the table, and the girl just looked at Deb and went, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she goes, relax, you're getting paid for it. Enjoy it.
and what I love about that story is when his dad watched the movie, because, of course, his son's now a motion picture guy, right? And his dad's a straighty 180, very religious and so forth. He wasn't so keen on that scene, was he, Mr. Jackman?
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. Publicly, no. He couldn't say he was, but I don't know.
Jacko, the pressure of preparing for Oscars must be extreme. I mean, you've got songs to perform, and you've got the Hollywood's elite and the world watching and things like that. And you're worrying about whether the jokes are going to flop and stuff like that. But, I mean, are you one that's having a laugh backstage, or are you having a casual drink? How do you prepare?
No, I think if you looked at me from the outside, you think, oh, he looks pretty relaxed. But I remember very clearly the minute before I went on for the Oscars, I remember being in the wings, and there's a guy called Valdez. He's a guy who's got long dreadlocks. He's been the stage manager for 26 years. He's seen it all, right? Done them all. He's like, Mr. Jackman, if you just come over to the side here. And he's just getting quiet. Everything's getting hushed. 45 seconds, 30 seconds. And as that was happening, I could feel myself. I started to look down. I could feel myself coming to the abyss. My mind was like, why the hell did you say yes? What the hell were you thinking? You are no Billy Crystal. You have no business being out there. I take a little peek, and I can see Meryl and Brad. I'm like, oh. And I'm actually getting nervous now thinking about it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a disaster. And I remember Valdez goes, 15 seconds. And he goes, Mr. Jackman, I looked up, and he goes, good luck out there, man. There's only about 1 billion people watching. if you look back at the tape, I'm actually, as I walk on, laughing, looking back into the wings. If it wasn't for Valdez, that would have been a nightmare. Gussie, can I tell about the night you came to visit me on the set of Swordfish, seeing as you mentioned it?
Absolutely, brother. You, please, yes.
So, massive Travolta fan, both of us, massive. So I'm in the movie with him. It took me about 3 weeks not to be just going, oh, my, it's Vinnie Barbarino. Right? Gus is there. We're on a night shoot, and Gus says, mate, the kids go back home, Vic's go back home. I'm going to spend the night with you. I said, oh, that'll be awesome. I hate the night shoot, so that'd be great. At about 2 in the morning, we get invited into John's Travolta's trailer to smoke a cigar. And we're just like, oh, this is the best. So we go in there, and Gussie... It's just the gloves are off. Every question he's ever wanted to ask, it comes out. He's just a mile a minute asking everything about this number in Greece and what about that. So there's no fever, and he's chatting. It is, and he's smoking at the same time. And then all of a sudden, he just goes deathly quiet. He goes white as a ghost, and he runs for the door. And just as he reaches the door, throws up all over the steps of Travolta's trailer.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm laughing my head off. I think this is the greatest moment in our friendship.
What?
And I never forget, remember, Gussie, John goes, Hugh, that is not, that's not what you do to your friends. That's... Help him out. Don't laugh at him, yeah. Which of course made me laugh a lot more.
That's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Jacko, it's been an absolute
you
pleasure.
You guys are. Let me just wrap this up by saying you guys are dead set legends.
Yeah.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolden and Gus Wallen. We do the show thanks to our mates at Panasales. Now, we've only got a couple of breaks left in the show this year, boys, so I'm going to take this opportunity as the skipper to take on board my thoughts on your performances.
Oh, is this a bit of direct feedback, is
this
it?
This is direct feedback, wow. And we're doing it on air rather than in a quiet room.
Oh, I see, critiquing us.
Off to the side. This is a full critique.
At least we've been irresistible this year, haven't we? Is that right?
Yeah, very true, very true.
Okay, now, Wendell.
Yeah.
Now, as a general rule, I'd give you an 8 out of 10 for the year. I think you've been very solid this year, but there's an opportunity for improvement, just like anything else, okay? Yep. You're late a lot of the time. You need to lift in terms of getting here on time. The amount of times we've sat around here, Jude and I, waiting for you to turn up for pre-record interviews or just discuss about the show is too many. So I need you to lift. I know you're coming in from Wollongong, but a lot of these situations are when you're just at the hotel next door. Secondly, sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
Like the fence is bending big time under that gigantic ass of yours, right? Which is a magnificent ass, by the way.
Thank you.
But you're sitting on it way too much. And, you, every now and again, you just forget that you're actually the expert on this show that needs to come up. Because everyone can go, oh, yeah, maybe it's a 50-50 or oh, if things go their way or whatever. Yeah. It's like, bang, you've got to live and die by your decisions, okay? So that's the main critiques for you. But overall, mate, like I said, an 8 out of 10. It's been a pleasure working with you.
I'll try and improve.
You're just like MG. You're just erratic and loose, but just awesome. And I love you like a brother.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate
it. And what
that.
About you, Jude Bolden?
Oh, here we go.
What about you, Mr. Perfect?
Where
Mr.
do you start? Where do you start?
Mr. Handsome never makes a mistake. Ask you about the Swannies, and you say they're going to miss the 8, so you're not sitting on the fence. You make the call, which is correct.
Yeah,
you're a rooster. So. Again, mate. This is a critique. This is not a discussion.
Sorry.
So we don't need to have any chit-chat from you, okay? So that was the main pressure for me this year for you, is whether or not you're going to get your AFL stuff right. Because as a general rule, not a lot of people care about all the stuff you're talking about, right?
I told you Richmond would win.
Again, mate, this is a critique. Just because you get everything right, just because you're so good-looking, it doesn't mean you get to stand here and talk back to me, all right? So you got everything right on a sport that not many people care about. So congratulations for hanging in there and doing your best with all the other stuff which you don't have much of a clue about. So congratulations. I'm giving you an 8.5 out of 10. And the reason why you're slightly better than Dill is because you turn up on time, you're professional, you're always well-researched, you just got your you-know-what together. So an opportunity to lift for both of you, because I personally, of course, have got a higher mark than both of you. Wallen down.
Gus Wallen. Jude Bolden. Wendell Saylor, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.